to be your sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving.
Will you? Thank you, Harry, for you. Sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and thanksgiving. I'll be a with you. Sanctuary for you.
Amen. Amen. Just to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. We'll read verse 9 and 10, Romans 12. Now remember us, and I know you've already heard it, but we'll be leaving Thursday to go over for the Alabama youth camp, and then some will be coming on over Friday. So just remember these. And also, too, Anna reminded me that to tell all of the people, that everybody that's got the blue T-shirt, you know, the blue one now, the newest one we got, that's got Spoken Word Church on them, you know, because we'll be needing them there on Saturday and wearing them on the Saturday time. So just remember to make sure you take that and call everybody, you know, that's going or whatever, some of you that think about them, to tell them, you know, to make sure and take those so that we'll have them. And also remember, the Lord willing, that Brother Nestor from the Philippines will be here with us on Sunday the 8th. And that Brother Richard Wilson will be with us on the 11th. So that'll be on the Sunday and then on the Wednesday of the 8th and the 11th. So remember that. I know you already have, but keep Sister Watson in your prayers because, you know, she needs it real bad. And just, you know, that the Lord would be with her and take care of everything. Romans 12. Is that all the announcements? I generally forget something. Yeah. Yeah, make sure that you bring even adults now. Adults, you know, especially to you because the kids know they've kind of done it before. But make sure you bring towels and washcloths because, you know, that they don't have anything and whatever.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool.
It'll be cool. It'll be cool where we're going to be, so you better make sure and bring you a little light jacket or sweater or whatever, you know, to because it's going to be cool over there because it's supposed to start dropping down. So, Joyce, you better bring your overcoat. All right. Anything else? All right. If anybody wants one of those books, now it doesn't have it, or the book on respect, make sure that you let Brother Aaron know because he's going to send off for that. And I think it would be a good idea to read it over and over and over. Anything else? Everybody that's here that's going, please meet after service.
Number one, we've got to load your truck.
Yeah. Right. We've got to get everything loaded up tonight because we're leaving out tomorrow. So just remember that. Anything else? I always forget something. You know, it's always done. You get about halfway there and you say, oh, you know. And the way we always do, we just call back and tell somebody else to bring it because there's generally somebody coming. But just remember that. All right, Romans 12. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for being our Father. And we know, Lord, for a surety that thou art God and you change not. So then, Lord, we can depend upon you. And what you say and do in one place, you'll say and do again. We know, and for all of the time that we've seen down through, that we've studied thy word, that you've been able, been allowed us to be able to read, that we know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. And we see all of the things of the world and life and all just pressing in constantly, sicknesses and heartaches and troubles. But we know for a surety that you're on the scene. And we believe you, because we know you'll do again what you've always done. Have your way with us now as we read your words. You come and speak to our hearts. We love you and we thank you. Bless the sick. Remember the ones that are not here, Lord, and just touch each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, no division, no doing, no hypocrisy, as it really says in the Greek. It said, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, we've been talking about respect. We can put the title to it of respect, but the series on respect, but this is the third message on it. We spoke on respect for God, and then we spoke on respect for his church, covering, the things like that. And tonight we want to speak about respect for one another. Respect for one another. And I want you to think about this. Now remember, I told you that I'd keep bringing this out, that the word respect is not like we think, because in the Bible a lot of times it says God is not a respecter of persons, etc. We get tied up into those forms of words and all, but the word respect is admiration for or a sense of the worth or excellency of a person. It means like honor, respect. Respect one to another. Respect God. Respect God's house, But it's like respect is commonly used in the results of admiration. In other words, you admire something. And see, you remember how we brought it out, the respect for God, that you look at God and you see him for what he is. Not just a savior to keep you from going to hell. Not just a healer to heal your body. But a respect for him for what he is. He's our father. See, then that way he's all that we need. But to honor him like that, makes you think about it. See, most of you were raised and are being raised with the father figurehead over you, But my father died when I was about 5, and my mother never married again, so I never had a kind of a father figure in front of me, to line up or guide by, But I know now who my real father is. I found my real father. I'm not disrespectful to my dad, my natural father, but I found out who my real father is. My real father is Almighty God. And I want to give him all of the respect and honor that could be given to him for, not because, as I said, to try to keep him going to hell or anything like that. It's not that way. It's to respect him because of what he is. Right? And see, then that way we know that we're told in the Bible, talking about a godly fear. See, respect doesn't have the meaning of the word respect, doesn't have a fear to it in the basis of something of being scared. Don't put that to God. Don't put it to our... See, and my wife was talking about it today, and I told her, I said, well, see, all of our denominational life, we have been taught from a little child up to be afraid of God. We've been brought up to fear God in the wrong way. Not to respect God. We have been taught to be afraid of God. And that's why I keep telling you, don't tell your children, God is mad at you. God's going to hurt you. God's mad. Don't teach your children stuff like that. See, you think about it now. Think about it with me just for a second, because that's what I told her. You think about a moment now. You say, no, Brother Dale, they taught us to... No. Now think about where you come from. Now, what's a favorite saying? That you start talking to somebody and you bring out water baptism. What's the first thing they generally say? Come on. You mean my mama wouldn't say? You mean my daddy wouldn't say? What is that? That's a fear. See? We say, oh, the Catholics are the only one that... No. All Protestants done the same thing. That, when I come in this message and saw the prophet and the way he was bringing, was the greatest freedom that I could ever think of in my life. Because I saw for once a man that wasn't a scared. There's a lot of difference in the word being a scared or having fear. You can have a godly fear, the Bible says. A reverence, a respect for God. And not be a scared, afraid. There's a lot of difference between the word. Just take one sometimes on your computer and just run in the word fear. And see how many definitions you get in your Strong's. I've got 5 that I just looked a second ago and picked up off of the computer. But see, it runs from reverence, but some of the word fear means like to be afraid, scared, a panic-stricken thing, something that's your fear, you're totally afraid. But when it says godly fear, it's only dealt with like caution or a discretion. Or a reasonable shunning, which means like you're automatically, as I said Sunday, when God comes in our presence, what does he say? Fear not. All right? Now, and that means a reverence or a veneration or a reverence toward God. A piety, like a holy life lived. Now, see, a holy life being lived, not because you're afraid of God. Don't be afraid of God, but have a respect of God. He doesn't want us to be scared. See, there's a lot of difference in scared and using even the word fear. If we use the word fear in the correct order, it'll turn out to be the right thing. And then remember what I said now, the point I've tried to make is it's a fear, a reverence, a respect for what he is. You remember Sunday then we brought out that, sure, we have a very, very poor church building as comparison to the world's religious systems and their churches and things, But this is the house that we've dedicated to God. We've set this aside for God, and we shouldn't do anything in here that wouldn't be in worship or reverence to God. In other words, you never should do anything. This is the way I think about it, and this is the way I do. I told you, if I come up here to work, if I'm outside of my hat's on, but when I come into church, I take my hat off. That's just a reverence that I've always had. I remember that it happened one time we were cutting out up here and getting ready to put down the carpet, and the man came in and measured for the carpet. Well, he was measuring, and he was just a worldly sinner person. He took out a cigarette and was fixing to light it up, And I said, sir, would you please not smoke in here? And, he was just so embarrassed, over the fact that he was doing that, and he just kept apologizing. And I said, no problem, because I know that the world, it just goes the way they want to go, in a church. They just do. But I said, we've dedicated this to the house to the Lord. Even though it's torn out and ripped out and not in too good a shape, we still try to reverence that. Because a prophet saying that a child running through a building could hinder the next service coming. Now that's the kind, but don't have it, Don't have it that when you come in the building you're scared. Because if you do, there's something wrong.
Right. That's right.
I'm like this. I wouldn't want to do anything in here that I couldn't turn around and meet Jesus standing face to face. Now, that's the way I think. That's the way we ought to think. That's the way we ought to consider the house of God, as to be in a very reverent state, to where that if God walked, just come right down, that we would not have to, oh, I'm sorry for all I've been doing, you know. Because that's what's wrong. That's why the presence of God doesn't come a lot of times. Do you know that being afraid of God, now, I want to get this out and go on. Being afraid of God keeps God away from you and me. See, we were taught so much of that scare tactics. Like Brother Malt used to say, them Baptists will take you and fry you over hell like a weenie, you know. See, they threaten you. They don't care what the service is. They don't care what the preacher priest is, how good he can give an altar call. Right? Now, I'm honest, I was there and watched it. And the thing of it was, is how good he could give an altar call was how good he could scare people. Oh, you're going to burn in hell eternally. And it'll come down to you. Now, your mama's up in heaven. Your mama and your daddy's up in heaven. Now, you want to go where your mom and daddy's at, don't you? Now, you don't want to die and go to hell. You want to go where mom and daddy's at. See? Well, that may be good. That's all right. I'm not saying nothing. That's their business. But I'm just saying, we can get afraid and cause the presence of God to leave us, because he can't come around us. And that's what we should be doing, see. Not to be scared, but to respect. Not to be where that God can't come in our presence. Because, see, one day the prophet said, sure, it'll be over there and all of this carnality will be gone. But he said, angels will be just all around. See? You know, he said, they'll just be right there with us. Well, you're not going to be, oh, there's Gabriel. No. If there would be anything whatsoever, they would be afraid of us. You know, I mean, if there would be anything, they're going to, you think we're going to respect them? I know we will. Don't get me wrong, because that's the way. But you think they're not going to have a high reverence and respect for the children of God? You think that they're not going to want to be at this bow in our presence? Read your Bible, the book of Revelations and all like that. Sure, they throw down those crowns and different things happen. That's what we do. But read over where the angels worship. See, and that's what I want to get to, if the Lord will, at the end of the message tonight, is what we are. All right. Well, let's just read a little bit, just get to the kind of the thought in mind, because watch what the prophet says about it. Now let's just read three or four places, then we'll get into the message. This is experience preached in 1947, 1221. We need people who have no churches here, who's struggling. My advice would be for you to stand at your post of duty just as loyal as you can to the cause of Christ, and back up your minister and everything that's going on for the cause of Christ. And do that. And God will bless you. The only way that you can respect God is to respect one another. He says, is that right? If you want somebody to say something good about you, you say something good about somebody else. They'll say something good about you. Cast your bread upon the water. It'll return. But see, the only way now that we can respect God is to respect one another. See, Sister Gail, she was standing there today, said, or talking about it, you know, that it started out like a simple message, but it's not too simple. Because you see immediately where I'm going when I get over here to the other pages. Like the scripture shows, you know, about the love of God in each one of us, all right? But look, see, to respect one another. Now, to have respect for one another is not to be scared of one another, but to look at the other person in the basis of what you see their worth or their excellency.
Well, I'll tell you what, the way I am, I look down on everything.
Well, no, don't worry about it. If you're looking down on everything, you're down on the bottom. Okay? Because the only way you can look down is to be on the bottom. Because the closer you get to God, you're going to start looking up. So it totally reversed our natural thinking. But see, to respect one another. You know how that I serve God? How I serve you? How do I respect God? The way that I respect you. All right, back to what we were talking about Sunday, about the brothers here that had been in the military. You didn't salute the man, maybe. You saluted the bars he had. The stripes that was on his arm, you know, or whatever. You saluted that. Why? Because that was giving total reverence and respect to the person that had went through that, that some way they got those stripes. You know. All right. But see, we look at one another and we look at each other's faults and failures. But why can't we look past that? Why can't we look past seeing what we look at with our natural eye? You know, hey, I'm human. I'm just like you are. I see you and I see things you do that I don't like. All right. But that's where the prophet one day, he said, I've got to do something. You better believe it can happen in a hurry. He said, I've got to do something. He said, I've lost the love of the people. For the people. Now, he didn't mean he'd lost the love, you know, the people for him. He had lost the love that he needed for the people. See, a pastor, he ain't like these others and just go through and just wham, bang, and run off and forget it, you know. He's got to stay there and live with you. And it's very easy to lose respect. But Brother Branham said, the first thing to do is pray for that person. Well, I'm so upset. I just tell you what, I just want to tell them off. Well, just remember that there's always somebody higher than you are. But see, to lose respect for one another, now watch what I'm saying about it now. Then you are losing respect for God. Oh, no. I still respect God, Brother Dale. It's just the people. Well, where's God at? Your God must be up in heaven or a totem pole on earth one. The God I've been talking about ever since I've been in this church, ever since I've been in this message, the God I've been talking about is the God living in the people. And that way I have to look past all of the faults and the failures and the things that go wrong. To where on the human side you're like Moses. You want to throw down the tables of stone. You know. But that's one thing we were talking about too today. See, that's one thing you know that this pastor's never done. He's never tried to threaten you with the word. You may think I have, but you better go back and think about what's done. I've tried to get you to see God from His Word. Amen. And that God is in you. Right. Not to see that God in me, that's all right, that's fine. But to see God in yourself. Because as the prophet said there, the only way that you can respect God is to respect one another. But see, we've got this great concept that our God is somewhere else and we've got a reverence and respect for Him.
But we just don't see him on earth. Well, what's wrong? See, I have a great respect for the people of God. I've always even tried to take up for and respect even those that I didn't agree with on the Word. Defended them and all. But we're not supposed to throw off on one another. We'll get into that. We're supposed to speak good of one another. What did the prophet say there? What we read? You want somebody to say something good about you? Oh, ain't nobody building. Don't want nobody to talk about good about you. No. Well, how do you get that? By saying good about somebody else. At least we could brag on the family. As the prophet said, in the front yard, we should be together. Maybe in the backyard. Yeah. We might fight it out. Yeah. You remember the illustration? He said, me and my brothers are that way. He said, just don't jump on us out in the front yard. So that's what I told you. I didn't have no trouble fighting. My sisters take care of it. But in the backyard, I mean, man, when we was in the backyard at home, they took care of me too. But listen, all right, let's go on. Message called Conference with God, 1959, 12:20 in the morning. So you see, now watch this little statement, and you're gonna see what I said a moment ago now. You're gonna see now, if you listen to what the prophet is saying, you're going to see that every denomination that there is works upon the basis of fear. And I'm talking about the Branhamites, because I have no arguments with anybody else. Like I told you, the brother stood or knowed about it and let two men beat his daddy up. Told us here about it. Because his daddy differed with the pastor. But you know what? The man himself went back to the church where them two beat him up. And you know what? The daddy went back too. You know why? Because it was taught, just like the people of this message is taught, a fear tactic. You leave this church, you're out. Brother Branham ordained this park out here. That's where he started this. We start, and Brother Branham, if you leave here, Brother Branham, you've left the message. Now beat somebody up physically. I got sick. I mean, the man might have thought it was a big bragging thing, but I got sick when he told me. Now that's worse than any Baptist church I'd ever been in. Do you know what I'm talking about? And watch him and you'll see it in this quote. So you see, beyond any controversy, God is in his people. You remember what he's talking about? You know the backup to what the Catholic said, well, God is in his word, you know. Or in his people. But he said, that's right, God is in his people. But he said God's in his word, and in his word's in the people. Alright? But what's he saying? God is in his people. Then we ought to respect one another. We ought to love one another. Watch him. Beyond our denominational barriers, we ought to love one another anyhow, no matter if we cannot agree. Now he's talking about denominational barriers. Fear tactics. People use fear tactics. To try to scare one another. But see, that won't work. Like I told you, Sunday we're talking about, you know, see them in this message come in and, oh, their pastor is just, oh, he's just so lovely and so wonderful a pastor. My pastor is just lovely and wonderful and let me open the door for him and let me do this, that, and the other. But 2 weeks later, they gone and found him another one. Now, somebody ought to wake up. No. That's why I'd be careful about hitting me on the back and telling me how good I am.
I figure you're about 2 weeks from leaving. Brother Dale, you shouldn't talk that way. Well, it has happened. It has happened. A big man one time walked up to me and punched me in the belly. He said, Brother Dale, you stuck with me the rest of your life. 1 month later, I was a dirty scoundrel. All right. But listen. Look what he goes on down to show us the Father in 1967-31, right at the bottom of the page. If we Pentecostal people could respect one another like that, now he's talking about touching the hem of his garment and laying the stick on the baby. You know, he didn't want that. He wanted it to come down, you know, because you believed in him. Right? Knowing that we'd never talk about one another, we'd be brothers. We'd be sisters. There'd never be no disgrace among us. If we could recognize one another, what we are as sons and daughters of God. And God dwells in His church, in His people. Certainly, God's in His people. Did you believe that? But right here, how much respect is it for one another? I'm not talking about for the pastor now. I'm talking about for one another. What kind of thing would people see that would come among us? And just remember, I'm the one that always hears these things. You know, I'm the one that people always comes to later on, and they'll say, Brother Dale, when I first come to that church, I thought, well, what in the world is going on? That I wondered who the pastor was, and I wondered who was doing what, and who was in charge. And see, I just bite the tongue and go right on and preach to you just like you love me. What? But see, respect one for another. Yeah. There should be such a respect among us as brothers and sisters in Christ until if somebody started to tell us something about another brother or sister, we should say, hold it. Now I'm telling you, because there's going to be more of this coming along with this, we should say, hold it a moment. Let's go get that brother and sister and talk to them. Because the prophet said, first thing, pray for the person. Second thing, go talk to the person. Then you can go to the third and the fourth about coming to church and all. But there's nowhere the prophet gave any inkling whatsoever to talk to anyone about a problem until it was finalized in the life statements of coming before the church or the pastor, etc. And you know what the little word called schism, see, comes in. And that's why people have come to me and they say, well, we don't even know who the pastor is. There's a lot of you know more about this church than I know about it. You know more about what goes on than I know about it. You know why? Because I'm not a busybody and a gossiper. And some of you are. But how many of you? Now, I'm just telling you. Why don't you try it sometime? When somebody comes up and says, I want to tell you something about Brother So-and-so. Oh, we've got a little comical joke now that we call it taking prayer requests, you know, instead of gossiping. It's all still the same. But try it sometimes and see how quick it'll stop anything. When somebody starts to tell you something, say, I don't want to hear that. That's my brother. That's my sister. Let's go pray. Said, did you pray about this? Did you go to the person about this? Did you take a witness with you about this? Did you talk to the pastor about this? But see, you just try it sometimes, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Just say, I don't want to talk about it. Probably there'll be a lot of conversations cut in a lot of degrees, and probably a lot of people go home quicker or hang up on the phone quicker. My wife even gets on to me about the telephone. She said, you won't talk to nobody. You're the pastor. Yeah, but I don't want to hear it. My conversations on the phone are generally very short. Because after you talk, I'm just going to be honest, you just do what you want to. After you talk on the phone for 10 minutes, the next 15 is gossiping. Now, you tell me I'm wrong there. Because I ain't got something. I'm just honest. I love every one of you. I love to talk to you. But I ain't got nothing to talk to you about for over 10 minutes unless we're going to talk about the Bible. Unless we're going to talk about the Bible, I ain't got nothing. I can say in a hurry what I want to say to you. It don't take me 10 minutes. Unless we're going to talk about the Word of God, you're not going to get a long conversation out of me on the telephone. You're not going to get it out here in the natural, you know, off the phone. Unless we start talking on the Bible. Because I'm just out of way. But now when you got hours on the telephone, you remember what I said. 50 minutes is gossip, 10 minutes might be prayer request. Talking about one another. You know, none of y'all ever called me and talked to me about Bush or Reagan or Clinton or anybody. Brother Dix, anybody ever call you and talk to you about Bush? I ain't going to ask you about the other. But do you see what I'm talking about? Respect for one another. And remember, if we don't respect one another, we don't respect God, because God is living in you and me. Listen to what he says here now. I'm just getting a little point, then we'll get to the message. This is questions and answers on Hebrews part 3, 1957, 1006. All right. What do you do about it? Now he's talking about like the nation and the taking, if you'll get the background behind it, and all about how that the Supreme Court made this ruling, etc. See, and he might not agree with it, but watch him. Now, he's talking about like them making a ruling. Said, what do you do about it, Brother Branham? I have to respect it. I'm an American citizen. I do what the big boss says do. Oh. If a family ever loses its respect for the family, the children lose the respect to the parents, that family's torn to pieces. And if a church ever loses respect of its pastor, why it's that church is gone. And if a nation ever loses their respect of the Supreme Court and its decisions, that nation is gone to pieces. That's exactly right. We've got to respect those things because they're the big boss. See, but it isn't right in the beginning, absolutely. We might not agree about what the Supreme Court would rule. Now, I ain't talking about outlandish things. Now, we're not talking about stupidity, and Brother Branham wouldn't. He wasn't talking about some Supreme Court ruling stamp that said, go out and kill everybody. Now, you know better than that. He was talking about just simple things. Somebody asked him a question about it or thought about it. Simple things, you know, that goes on, that they vote or rule. And he said, we respect that. Like I told you, he even said it this way, if you want it, I'd be glad to find it. Where he said, if the Branham Tabernacle votes for Brother Branham to preach, or Brother Neville to preach Jehovah Witness doctrine, he said, and the church votes it, he said, that's a sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say it was right, but he said it was the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. All right. He said, well, what am I going to do? You could get up and leave. no problem. But see, what people do, just like they've done when there's an organized religion, instead of getting up and leaving about something, they stayed and fussed about it. I'll just go ahead and say it this way because it comes out, but I wonder if some of you ever do it. Of course, we don't never. I ain't never argue with you about tithing and everything. Just one laying right here. I ain't never said a word about it like that. But you know what they done in the Baptist church? When the pastor, they wanted to get rid of him, they withheld their tithe. They kept it till they got him another pastor. If they didn't like him, they didn't put it in. Hey, I was there. I was up with him. I knowed all about it. They got it from me then because I told them about it. I didn't ever change about that part of it. But now listen, when you lose respect, what does he say? Go right on down to the message, respect, 1961, 10:15 in the evening. Paragraph 131. If they'd have been taught reverence and respect, now you'll see what he's talking about in a second, they'd have walked out there before that prophet of God and have asked God for prayer for themselves. Now you know who he's talking about. Because he goes on down and tells you. Elisha, the prophet. Huh? But they had been taught to snicker, and laugh and make fun about like the children of today. No, not too many of them today would make fun at a street meeting. They'd make fun at the preaching of the gospel. So Elijah cursed them in the name of the Lord, not because of the children. See, that always bothered me why Elijah had cursed them. But right there's your answer. Not because of the children. But because the irreverent parents that brought the children up, that they would be disrespect, that they would that way to disrespect God, two she-bears come out and kill 42 of them. Now that's irreverence. God demands respect. When they disrespected his prophet, they disrespected him. So matter if they didn't believe, they ought to have kept their mouth shut, stay away from it. But they had to put in their nickels worth. You see what he's talking about? Respect. One to another. It wasn't the children's problem. It was the parents. Now, but I'm sure, I'm as sure as I'm standing here, that the parents of those 42 children buried what was left of the children griping about the prophet. Wouldn't you agree? He didn't have no right to kill my children. No, I'll agree with you. He ought not have killed the children. He ought have sent the she-bears after the parents. But no. See, the parents went away with the same attitude and taught the next generation of children they had the same way. Disrespect. Disrespect for one another is what got them all killed. Right. Now we'll get down to the message. How should we treat one another as brothers and sisters? Knowing that those brothers and sisters are the children of God. That's how we ought to treat each other. We don't do sloppy, garbage can things. We're going to get into even some natural things the prophet says about husband and wife. So that'll give some of you excuse to find a way to get out of coming the next few services or something. So, you know, it's all right. See, the prophet said if we don't respect one another,
We don't respect God. But we don't think about what I do to Ryan is what I'm doing to God. Now, you know what I'm talking about when I get on over into it, that the prophet says about a wife and respect for the husband. He said, because that husband is God to you. But that's all the preachers want to preach on. They don't want to preach on about the disrespect for the man for the wife, you know. We'll get on to them things, you know. You know how I am. I'm kind of arrogant and hateful when it comes to some things. But I tell you like it is. You can't go away and say that you don't know the truth. Because you've been told the truth. You, like I'm saying, you might not want to salute me, but just remember the stripes it's coming from. You know what I'm talking about? Remember where it's coming from. You might not like me and my looks or my doings or my words, but just remember where they come from and see what the prophet has to say. Because remember, the sheep buyers could be here just as well today. You're training your children in the way you want to train them. And like I've always said to you, all for 15, 16 years, you pet them devils in there, and then you want one altar call and us to pray it out. Well, that probably might happen. But you know what the trouble is? By the time you get outside the building, you pegged it back in and said, honey, he shouldn't have spoke to you like that. He said that too hard. See, you done petted the devil back in, and it'd be 10 times worse trying to get it out the next time. But you see? But let's just read some scriptures. Let's read what the Bible says about respect for one another or whatever. And just see, who are we to respect? One another as children of God. Just as we would our natural brother or sister. You had a natural respect for your brothers or sisters, right? You love your brothers and sisters. You have respect for them. You know, you honor them. You reverence them. Because that's your family. But in this, see, the respect is given to the person that you're giving it to because of the worth of the person. It's your brother, it's your sister, it's your mama, it's your daddy, whatever. But it's given it as a worth to it as not a fear of the person. Not a fear of the person, but a love and respect. That you can look at that person and say, I'm treating you the way I want you to treat me. That's always been my theme. My theme is the way I want you to treat me is the way I try to treat you. That's all that I've ever asked about anybody. That's all I've ever asked as a pastor or as anything, is to just treat me the way I treat you. Because, see, that way then you're serving God. We're serving God as we serve one another. You're looking at God among yourselves. You're not. Don't do it like, you know, the preacher, if you don't see God, look up here. Well, all right, that's fine. But why don't they say if you want to see God, turn around and look at your brother and sister? And I just don't see much God in them. Well, maybe you need to get your glasses changed. Maybe you need another prescription. You know what I mean by that, don't you? You ever seen people that you read the Bible to them and they say, that's not what it says? Well, what do you mean? I just read, but I'm looking through my glasses. My Baptist glasses, my message people glasses. Because I follow Brother So-and-so, and that's not what he said it was. But listen, church, we should respect one another, and see, that's how we show our love for God. How we show our love for God is how we treat one another. Now, come on, I'm not disrespectful, and God knows I'm not trying to be funny or arrogant or hateful, But show me God. Somebody stand up and show me God. Lay him out here. Show him to me. Bring him down here. Put him in here in front of me where I can see him. No, but I can call every born-again believer and say, come and stand before me. And you know who's standing before me? Almighty God. That's the difference in it. Right? Do we look at each other like that? It'd be a whole lot of difference in husbands and wives if we looked at each other that way. Another message. But listen, let's go to John 13. Let's just read some scriptures. And you can't argue with the author then. John 13. Verse 34. The Lord Jesus speaking, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Yeah. Okay, well, we love one another. We love one another. As I have loved you. Now, is that what the Scripture says? Is it just love one another with some kind of a filio or some kind of this? No. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Now, change that word disciples are to a 2006 version and say it like this. By this shall all men know that you are my children. If you have love one to another. If you have love one to another. Where is the love of God perfected at? Is that another scripture? I thought it was perfected in me and you. Of the love that we have for one another. Romans 13. Verse 8. Owe no man anything. And we know the prophet explains that. You don't owe your rent till it's due. You don't owe the payment on the car till it's due. You don't owe the payment on the house till it's due. But love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I thought the law was the word of God. So translate that. If you love one another, you fulfilled the word. Because that's not talking about law like a law of word of thing. That's talking about the word. But you see, owe no man nothing. I wrote it down like this. If you owe me anything, this is what I wrote in my Bible. If you think you owe me anything, any of you in this building think you owe me anything, then pay it back with love. Pay it back with love. That's all I ask of anybody. Paul saying to him, you know, he said, you know, so-and-so, and he talk about it, he say, now, if that brother owes you anything, he said, put it on my charge till I come. He said, but I'm not going to tell you. Now, I'm paraphrasing the Scripture. Be glad to get it, though. But he said, I'm not going to tell you that you owe me everything. He said, put it on my charge so I come. I'll pay it, in other words. But he said, I'm not going to bring it up. But you owe me everything. I bet you he never did have to pay any of those debts back. Right? So if you owe me anything, if you ever think of anything that you would owe me for anything that I've ever helped you with, naturally or spiritually, pay it back by loving me. And how did the prophet say? He said, if you want to do anything good for me, do it for my children. Do it for my children. Right. Now, I know what he meant, but I wonder, do you know what he meant? Terrence, Anna, Wade here tonight, those are our natural children. But a lot of you in here are my children in the gospel. So, love one another. And if you get where you just can't hardly love them, say, Brother Dale said, I owed him. And let me pay it back to his family. Because that's one thing you know for sure. My family knows this for sure. There is no respect outside of when it comes from here. If my kids are wrong, my wife is wrong, my kids are wrong, my grandkids are wrong, they're just as wrong as anybody in this building. And I take no sides on any issue that would be brought up about my own family, about something. I take no sides with my family. I'm talking about natural, just because they're my children. I take one stand. And that's on this word. I wonder how many pastors could say that. But you show me one time that I've ever favored my children over you. My children have offices in this church because they deserved it. Okay, we get off that. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, listen. Now, isn't the seventh church age the age of brotherly love? Now, I know Lady Philadelphia means brotherly love, but that's the sixth church age. The seventh church age is brotherly love, if you look at the pyramid behind you. Right. So this is the age supposed to be of brotherly love. Now, watch it. But as touching brotherly love, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, why would a man say that when he was the one that was doing exactly the same thing Peter and them was doing when he was teaching the stature of a perfect man, growing to faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness? Why would he say that? Would he say, I have no need? Peter ran off his mouth and talked about them faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. I have no need. No. What was he saying? If you've got the new birth, I have no need to be speaking to you about brotherly love. Because even at the earnest of your inheritance, you should get a portion of brotherly love. You should start loving one another even with the new birth. Growth development just puts that more into use. But watch it. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are called of God to love one another. You see? I don't have to tell you to love one another. If you got the new birth, you're called of God to love one another. If you listen to the prophet's message, you'll see love made manifest through a man. That would even get in trouble with God because that he would not go as the way God told him, but because of his love and respect and commitment, he would go in other ways with other people. Like everybody said, you know, so-and-so preached, this and preached, but said William Branham lived what he preached. Something to that degree. All right, go to 1 John 4. Now, I surely don't have to get down to the last one in order to be able to understand that the Lord Jesus says, love your enemies. You know? Love your enemies. He didn't even bring it down to love brothers and sisters. He brought it down to love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Let's just read a little bit. 1 John 4, verse 7. All right, everybody got it? 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, that's not, that loveth there is not the word love like filio or, you know, just a word for love, you know. Because he's talking about those with a new birth. Watch him. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Now here's how that God showed what he loved us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Now watch. Herein. In other words, what I'm fixed to tell you. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation of our sins. He wouldn't have any love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is born of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Look at it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Let me state what I started with. That does not mean a scare or a frighted. If the love of God is in you and I, God can come into our presence. Sure, we'll have a natural tendency to be shaken. But once we know who it is, we don't have the fear, right? You remember all of that? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. Now check that word fear, see. He that's a scared is not made perfect in love. Not he that respects God, he that is a scared. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Well, church, that's enough understanding. Did we say we love God and we can't love one another? There's something wrong. Something wrong with our experience. Because we're putting God somewhere else. We've got a totem pole God that's off in glory. You know, he's away from us. Why do you think they developed the Trinity, like I've always told you? As a natural human being, I wish there was a Trinity. I've told you that many times. I wish there was a Trinity as me as a natural human being. Because if there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, somewhere He might forget me. One might be able to make an atonement some way. That's Catholicism. But to realize that we're looking at one another. And as we look at one another as born-again Christians, that we're looking at the only element of God that will ever be made manifest upon this earth. That He will never be here in a corporal body to stand and we could look at Him. But He's here in His church. Like I said, if you hate my guts, love me for something I've done good for you. Love me for something I've done good for you. Because you see, at least that way you get your mind in the right order. How can you say that you love God that you have not seen? And can't love your brothers and sisters that you have seen? You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, we read. You know that love covers a what? Oh, it's not one or two, is it? You know the Bible says to forgive somebody how many times? 70 times 7, 490, and again if they ask. Has everybody ever done you wrong 490 times? I mean, do you write them down? Well, you got one. Brian got one. Jeffrey got one. Dick got one. I'm adding these up. Boy. No. But see, what we do is somebody does us wrong one time and we make it 490. Right? But church, do you see what I'm talking about? We should treat each other as brothers and sisters, knowing that they are the children of God. And what's the difference between God and His children? That's the human manifestation, right? And there's no way you can have Jesus Christ here up on earth in a corporal body right now. That'd be contrary to Scripture. Oh, I could love God. I can love God. Yeah. Oh, yes, I love God. I love God. I have trouble with His people. Well, there's no God like that. You got a God up in glory somewhere. Forgive me as an illustration, but you got a totem pole God. You know what a totem pole God is, don't you? You know, they're not as far off as we think they are. Of the ignoramuses we think the heathen are that would take a totem pole and call it a god. But you know what Brother Branham said about it? He said they make that totem pole in the image of what they think, or an idol or whatever, of what their god looks like. He says, and they believe in an imaginary way that their god comes down in to that idol. They're not missing it a whole lot, you know it. I wonder how many of us has got God like that. But sure, He's up in heaven. Sure, He's somewhere else. But how should we treat one another? How should we respect one another? Now, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Don't, after church, run up and, Brother Dale, I love you. You're my brother. I just love you. I just love you, brother. Then I'm getting a knife in the back, so just don't do it, you know. I mean, we hug each other's neck and we say, I love you, brother, because that's what I do with everybody, right? I hug, now, not the women, but I hug all the men and I say, I love you, brother. and I mean it. I'm like Brother Tom. You get Brother Tom to tell you he loves you. Get old Brother Tom to tell you he loves you. If he don't, he ain't going to tell you. So that's what he told me one day. I don't guess anybody ever heard that word hardly out of him. He said, Brother Dale will love you. He said, I want you to know I mean it. I said, yeah, Tom, I believe it. I believe you mean it. But to love one another for what we are, you remember now? The definition of respect. To look at what the worth of anything is. See, that's the reason I respect you. Well, it gave him the word where Brother Branham said, one of them, I didn't read it, but it was our Sunday, where he said, I fear my wife. He said, I fear my church. But he said, the way it is because that I might in some way live some other way than what would be acceptable to God. You know, something to that degree. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. The love that you have one for another. Right? Do we love each other that way? You see, because we're going to manifest it. We're going to manifest what we are. But you see, if we can just show our love one to another. I told you that I'm not throwing no stone, but the two men that helped me the most were the two men that hurt me the most. But they helped me the most. I get over on that other side and I see some of those old denominational preachers that tried to direct me down. I don't know where they'll be, in bride or whatever. That's between them and God. If not, as a foolish virgin or whatever they would come up to be. You know what I'll do? I'll hug their neck and I'll say, thank you. Because you helped me. You helped me to understand about God. Because you see, I look on the, what was the Life's Message group that we brought? I look on a positive attitude. I hadn't left that much. I just dropped the title, you know. But to have a positive attitude about anything. To love one another is a positive attitude. See, then nobody can accuse anybody of anything. Because then you'll say, wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. Let's go ask that person. And let's get down to the bottom of it. Why? Because we're talking about loving one another. Verily, in you and I is the love of God perfected. That word perfect means what? Complete. God's love is complete. What is the end time to be? What is the last thing to be? And I'm closing. What is the last thing to be of the end time? This age, this time. I thought it was the headstone, which is love. A Catholic nun not too long ago was killed by a rebel or something. You probably read about it. And the last thing she said, they had shot her or something. She told him, said, I forgive you. Her last words was, I forgive you. Where are we maybe missing the boat, folks? Because as we look at one another, we're looking at God. We're seeing God by our own natural eyesight and our brothers and sisters. Because we're one family. One family. Come on, Brother Boyd. Come on, musicians. We're the family of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Loving one another, no matter what.
a love that we have one for another. I'll get to it as I go along. I've always told you, or tried to illustrate it, like Brother Branham said. He said, what about that you were going to marry this little girl, you know, and she done told you she'd marry you. But said, then one day she tells you, say, honey, I told you I'd marry you, and I will. But said, I love somebody else more than I do you. He said, now even though you would know that she would marry you and be a good wife and all to you, but said, if you really love her, what would you do? Said, you'd tell her, say, we'll go with the other person because I want you to be happy. How much more should we think about what our Heavenly Father has done for us? How He's led us into this Word and directed us, brought us together from all over, but to make us the family. What have we got? 136 in His fire. Let's stand together.
Descended as was promised by our Lord. Oh Lord, send the fire just now. Oh Lord, send the fire just now.
Amen. Amen. Father, just touch our brother and be with him, Lord. You heard what he said, and that you are God and you can do it. We believe you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Lord, send the power just now. See, that's the only way that God will send the power is when His love is made manifest among each other. You want to know what's holding off? The revival, it's me and you. You know what's holding off the love of God being made manifest? It's me and you. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. See, we want the power without the character. Right? We want the power without having to love one another. And power without character is what? Prophet said it was satanic. Give me the love of God. I heard the prophet one day say a statement like this. He said, which one would be the best, love or 5,000 people saved? Something to that degree, you know. He said, because if you get a church where the love or the faith of God made manifest through them, he said, there'd be 10,000 saved. What do you think about it? Do you love one another? Oh, Lord, send the power. Oh, Lord, send the power. Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. I know it was already told you, but Bob and Monica is going to be the parents of two little girls. They were kind of hoping it would be two boys, but you know, it's kind of, that's like, maybe the wrong way of saying it, but I told somebody this evening what it like, and I think it was Brother Dick was talking about, you know, children and things from God is kind of, and forgive me, Lord, but it's kind of like a grab bag, you know, where you go down and you look at this bag and they don't have nothing, you know, you can't tell what it is, but you pay the dollar, you grab the bag and you open it up and see what's in it. Well, that's the way life is with children. You may want two boys, you may want two girls, you may want a boy, you may want a girl, and all that, that's fine. But then the Lord just gives you what He wants you to have. And then you thank God for them. I never, and I can say this as honest as standing here, I never thought, because in our day, see, we didn't know what the baby was until they rolled it out. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, that we was in the birthing room. They rolled them out 4 hours later maybe or something. Everything was done, cleaned up and all, and then you finally got to see the baby and you got to see what it was, you know. But see, I never did have in my mind and thought that I'd like to have this or I'd like to have that. I wanted the babies to be healthy I just wanted them to be helped. Coming for to carry me home. Band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Sing it like this now. Sing it this way. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. I saw the love of God coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my brothers and sisters, I'm coming too. Because I'm part of the family of God. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry. Do you love him? Then you got to love one another. You got to love one another if you love God. Because there's no way to not love one another. Because we're the family of Almighty God. We're His children. It will never go down. The flowers are blooming forever. And the sun, it will never go down. Then now what does that make you? I feel like crying sometimes. I do. I feel like shouting. I do. The flowers are blooming forever. And the sun, it will never go down. You know, if you look at one another with love, you don't look like you used to, do you? You don't look like you used to, do you? Where do we get down into the things where Brother Branham said, if you look at that wife that's in her 60s, said you look at her with love for what she's been. Then the love is there. But oh church, how much it is for a wife and a husband to have the love of God in their heart to be made manifest to one another through the natural. Forever and the sun will never go down. Anybody have a need? You just think of the love of Almighty God. Think of how much His worth is to each and every one of us. We would not know each other if it wasn't for the love of God. We would not know each other as brothers and sisters. We would. But see, He's all through there molding and put us together, bringing us from this away and bringing us that away and bringing us to the right place. Well, you got one more, then we'll go. Do you love Him? Then sing it unto Him. Love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship.
book of remembrance was written.
May it be a sweet, sweet sound in the Lord.
One more time before we go. Just think about him and love him.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
Do you really mean it?
And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you do. May it be a sweet, sweet sound.
Now let's just talk to our Father before we go home. Right. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for tonight. And I pray that what has been said, Lord, is worthy to have been said. That the respect one for another, Lord, is the thing that we look at. Because we're not afraid of one another. We love one another. We're not afraid of you, Father, and the basis of that you'd send us to hell for not loving you or caring for you. But we have a fear that we won't serve you correctly and won't do what you want us to do. So just help us and guide us. Take care of the people on the highway and let everything be all right. And as the people that are not here, may when they listen to the tape, that they see what we're talking about. And let your love be made manifest. In Jesus' name.